Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God, our Father, and the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The top controversies of Christmas 2013. Have you thought about the top controversies of the season this year? I have. The first one, Duck Dynasty, right? The patriarch, what's his name? Phil Robertson, right? He, did you hear, he boycotted his own Christmas album, Duck the Halls, because in the opening hymn, Duck the Halls or Deck the Halls, it says, "Don we now our gay apparel." So he had to boycott the whole hymn, the whole album. The second controversy of Christmas 2013, Target. Target got into the Christmas spirit this year and gave away your credit card. Don't worry, there's only a 1 in 7 chance that it was you. Final controversy of Christmas 2013 so far this year, no one from Praise Lutheran won the $636 million jackpot. However, Gary Kuban was found this week shopping for a new Jaguar. So these are things that make you go, right? What was the most controversial part of the first Christmas 2,000 years ago? Could it be that Jesus was born to a virgin? It says so in our text that Mary, who was betrothed to Joseph before they came together, was found to be with child. What, you might say. Her husband, Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to do what? To divorce her quietly. Controversial. This is a real Christmas controversy and a real Christmas comfort in the making. Our Lord Jesus, born into a situation that appeared to outsiders to be scandalous and immoral, an unwed mother and a child. To put it another way, if Mary and Joseph were part of a reality TV show, let's call it the Davidic Dynasty, then Mary and Joseph would have been put on hiatus and perhaps even stoned to death, some biblical scholars say. But in truth, we who hear about this, we who know the scriptures, should confess that not Jesus, but that we in our conception and birth was scandalous and immoral, while the conception and birth of Jesus was sanctified and immaculate. Listen to what God's word says from the mouth of King David in the Psalms. "I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me," King David said. In our baptismal liturgy for the church, we say this every time a child is baptized, we say, We're all conceived and born sinful. We all. So David's not alone, is he? Now, we may or may not have been born out of wedlock, but sin has always been a part of our bloodline and heritage, no matter who we are, no matter where we came from, all the way back to our first parents, Adam and Eve, in the garden. Duck Dynasty's persecution for standing up for truth, Target's security slip, and lottery tickets instead of love gifts all point to the same thing, that controversies due to sin are still with us in 2013. So one of the great beauties of Advent for sinners is the truth and comfort that our Lord Jesus gives in his word about his own conception and his own birth, which is summed up by those two words, sanctified and immaculate. Sanctified, the first word. What does that mean? Despite the outward appearances, Jesus was conceived and born how? From the Holy Spirit. Not in sin, but in sanctity. Joseph was not Jesus' natural father. He was only his adoptive father. And Jesus' true father was God the Father, who was in heaven, and by the Spirit of God, he was conceived and born. Jesus' mother, Mary, believed God's word spoken to her by the angel, and she conceived and bore a son. Sanctified means not ordinary, but set apart by the miracle and the mystery of God at work. And immaculate, we hear that word sometimes too. Immaculate means clean, spotless, pristine, unstained, just like Gary Cuban's Jaguars. Immaculate also means free from sin. That God chose to be born this way, that is, to an unwed virgin, shows more than just Jesus' purity and origin. It also shows his willingness to be associated with the scandal of sin and with children who were conceived and born into immoral situations. God himself may be pure from sin indeed, but he willingly put on the cloak of being a sinner. Throughout his life, Jesus was accused of being a drunkard and a glutton and a false teacher. And he died as a criminal, next to two others, a thief and a robber. It should be no shock that his conception and birth is overcast by the shadow and accusation of immorality. But all unwed mothers and all children born in sin should be drawn ever more to the Christmas story. Why? Because in verse 21 of our text today, she will bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. The perfect one, born of a virgin, goes on to have fellowship with every kind of sinner under the sun and journeys to the cross appointed to die for the sins of the world in order to give all, through repentance and through faith in Christ, a godly second birth. The first birth was in sin, scandal, and immorality. The second is immaculate and sanctified because of our baptism, which cleanses us from every sin and every stain, so that when we are seen by God, we are seen by him as wonderful, pure, perfect children, just like our Lord Jesus. Baptism is that powerful. It gives us that view in God's sight. We are his immaculate, sanctified children. Praise be to God. And Joseph in this text, what about Joseph? Did we learn anything by his example in this text? Well, Joseph, even though he is caught up in a scandalous situation, is told by the angel to be faithful despite the outward appearance of the circumstances. Do not fear to take Mary as your wife, Joseph, son of David, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. He must live in the tension of what appears to be right and what truly is right. Does that sound familiar? Do we ever feel that way too? Ever caught between what appears to be right on the outside or appears to be scandalous and wrong and that which truly is and which we only know? The tension we must live in as Christians is that we, yes, we must flee from sin, but we must also draw near to sinners for the sake of the gospel. Not that the gospel is sinful, but that our neighbor is, and so are we. We can't flee from that truth. We've inherited it. But we draw near trusting in what? That name that was given at Jesus' birth, Jesus. God saves. He saves their people from their sins. And not just my sins and your sins, but the sins of the whole world. We draw near to fellow sinners because Jesus, God, Emmanuel, God with us, drew near to sinners to bring the knowledge of salvation to the ends of the earth and the peace that the world cannot give, but the peace that only God himself can give if he were here, making all things right. And he is in his Son. By his death, by his stripes, we are healed. By his resurrection back to life, we see life and immortality come to light. May we at Christmas time not forget all the significance that God sent a son named Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. May the Christmas gospel this week that we hear help us to see past the sin that separates God and man and divorces husband and wife and scandalizes the consciences of children. And help us to see what God has done by the birth of Jesus to the Virgin Mary. And help us see what God has done to reconcile sinners to himself, to keep husband and wife faithful, to comfort the brokenhearted, and bring blessed peace to a fallen and controversy-filled world. God sent his Son, Emmanuel, God with us, and they called his name Jesus. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in faith in Christ Jesus, our blessed Redeemer, living Word. Amen.